Well, we've found that federal agencies often have a great deal of difficulty doing even some of the most basic and important analysis for the really big, really important regulations. And I want to emphasize, I've worked in the federal government. I know a lot of people who do regulatory analysis in the federal government. We've presented our results to some federal agencies, and this is in no way a criticism of the people whose job it is to do the analysis. They're working hard, trying to do the best they can. What we found are really institutional problems that get in the way of doing good analysis.
And what are some of those institutional roadblocks?
Well, the biggest single problem we found, we have had a project for several years called the Regulatory Report Card at the Mercatus Center that looks at the quality of analysis federal agencies do when they issue the really big regulations, the economically significant regulations. And one of the things we find that often is not done well is that the regulatory analysis doesn't do a very good job of defining the problem the regulation is supposed to solve to begin with. And, you know, that's pretty important. That's a little like seeing water on the floor in the bathroom and assuming the problem is, well, we have to get a mop without finding the source of the leak. So that's a pretty big issue and a pretty big problem that we see. And a lot of the reason for the problem is that agencies are often rushed and feel like they have to propose a solution before they've had a chance to analyze the problem very well.
Dr. Ehrlich, why then do they feel rushed? Is it Congress giving them a shorter deadline, or is it Congress not giving them enough basically instructions of what they want within those regulations?
In some cases, it's congressional deadlines. For example, we looked at the eight really big regulations issued as interim final regulations in 2010 to implement healthcare reform. And in those cases, those regulations were accompanied by deadlines where the agencies were told they had to have various pieces of that law in place 3, 6, or 9 months after the law was passed. So sometimes deadlines are to blame. Other times, though, I think it's a larger institutional problem that agencies are generally rewarded and expected to get regulations out rather than being rewarded for making the right decisions or using good analysis to make decisions.
Now let's look at that healthcare law a little bit more in depth. As everyone knows, it was a 2,000-page clunker of a piece of legislation. Well, I'm not passing judgment on it, but at 2,000 pages, it was weighty. And so if that's 2,000 pages, what's the volume, simply, of the regulations that have to be written to fulfill it?
Well, there will be a lot of regulations. It's hard to estimate how many regulations we'll have coming out of this. The words, the secretary shall, appear several thousand times in the legislation. That doesn't mean there will be several thousand regulations. But what really matters here is that legislation will require a number of very large regulations that have potentially multiple billions of dollars in benefits and in costs. So the impact of these regulations is going to be very large.
But on the other hand, you said that there's agencies seem to have this problem, this idea that they have to write these regulations based on what Congress comes out with. But the Office of OIRA, the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs over at the Office of Management and Budget, has been trying to simplify regulations and has been coming out and telling agencies with new, for instance, new policy, new guidance, new memo. Is that having an effect yet?
We don't know if that's really having a big effect, and part of the problem is that OIRA itself has pretty limited resources. That office, which is supposed to be looking for best practices in regulatory analysis and also reviewing regulations and the accompanying analysis as they come out, that office is about half the size that it was back under President Reagan when it first took on the job of reviewing regulations. So there's a limit to how much OIRA can do, and I think the folks who work there kind of have to pick and choose, well, when do we want to make an issue of something and when do we not? So OIRA is pretty seriously undermanned and outgunned in this.
Well, it'd be fair to them. They also lost part of their staff when Congress created the Office of E-Government and IT, so that's where a big chunk of those people went. Obviously, OIRA also has a dashboard where they follow up with. Is that dashboard having an effect in terms of getting agencies more kind of focused on writing good regulations? And it seems like that's the goal, at least.
Well, we haven't seen a big systematic change in the quality of regulations. Our regulatory report card project started by evaluating regulations that were proposed in 2008, in the last year of the Bush administration. And as we follow it through into 2009 and 2010, if we look at, you know, just scoring these regulations based on criteria that are in the executive orders that govern regulation, we find that the quality of the regulatory analysis is about the same from one administration to the next. So we haven't really seen a big improvement. And again, I think it's because of the incentives and the constraints that are embedded in the regulatory process rather than the fault of any particular administration or any particular agency.
We are speaking with Jerry Ellig. He's Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And do federal agencies do all of this by themselves, or do contractors get involved with some of the nuts and bolts of regulation writing?
Well, I have to admit, I've spent more time than any sane person should over the past few years reading federal regulatory analysis, and I've found there's a great diversity. There are some agencies where it seems like most of the work is done in-house. There are other cases where the agencies utilize contractors, and it's pretty clear from reading some of the work that when agencies utilize contractors, then they do review it internally and decide whether they're going to accept that work or not as their regulatory analysis. So the agencies that use contractors don't just rubber stamp what the contractor did for them.
So is there any qualitative difference between whether it's written in-house or written by contractors and improved in-house?
You know, that's an excellent question, and we haven't actually segmented the data to try to figure that out. We've really been focused on trying to learn some bigger lessons about the regulatory process, such as maybe do we get better analysis when agencies are trying to meet deadlines at the end of an administration to get regulations out at the midnight hour. And we found in the Bush administration that the so-called midnight regulations had lower quality analysis. We've also found that regulations that implement federal budget programs tend to have lower quality analysis than, say, your typical environmental regulation or safety regulation. And that's probably explained by the fact that OMB even treats those regulations differently and tends to focus on whether the agency's got the budget numbers right rather than whether they did the other parts of the regulatory analysis.
One of the things, one big complaint that I hear time and again from vendors and people in industry is about the use of this interim final rules, meaning where you can still comment, but they're in effect now. Did you do any research around that? I mean, how much is that being used by this administration as compared to other previous administrations?
Well, actually, we've looked at two sets of interim final rules as kind of offshoots of this project. One was the 8 interim final rules that were issued in 2010 to implement the health care bill. The other interim final rules we looked at were some interim final rules that were issued shortly after, in the years following 9/11, by the Bush administration to implement some security-related regulations. And we found in both cases that the quality of analysis for those rules was not very good and well below the standards set by agencies when they analyze normal rules as part of the regular process. So I think one of the lessons we learned from looking at the analysis of interim final rules is that haste definitely makes waste.
And what about the SEC and its regulatory burden of writing coming out of Dodd-Frank? What's your prediction there?
Well, the SEC has kind of a unique challenge because as an independent agency, the SEC is not under the executive orders that are enforced by OIRA for regulatory analysis, but the SEC does face a legislative mandate in its authorizing legislation that essentially says the SEC is supposed to do benefit-cost analysis. So we would expect that the SEC, will feel that it needs to do some pretty serious analysis before it issues some new rules. Whether it does or not remains to be seen.
So, but in all cases, if they go too fast, we're not going to get the quality as if they take their good, sweet time to do it right.
I think that's one thing you can predict. Yeah, that on multi-billion-dollar rules, if you try to do it fast, you end up not doing a very good job, and it's probably worth taking a little more time to actually get better information to make better decisions.